Jonesy, there's an article in the in the Toronto Sun yesterday, and I'm going to apologize. I think it was Mike Gant. I could be wrong, but there's an article in the Sun, and it was about Kyle Lowry. And you know, there have been a couple of sort of common themes throughout the season with this team. And I've got to ask you, I understand the Raptors aren't going to make the playoffs now. Does Kyle Lowry have to show something now to the end of the season to keep his job going into next season? I'll put it a different way. If the season were to finish now, would Kyle Lowry be next year's starting point guard?
He may very well be, Jeff. I mean, we don't know what moves or what's planned in the offseason. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, Kyle, since that injury around Christmas time, where Calderon ran the team, is he's come back, and I think I said this in January, he realized at that point he didn't have to do everything, and he started trusting teammates more and, you know, basically thinking, these guys aren't as bad as I thought they were, trying to get other guys involved. And I think it's been almost a rebound kind of effect, where he hasn't been aggressive as he was before. He hasn't been, taking the ball to the goal and you know, trying to do more himself. I mean, I've watched him over the course of January, middle of January, he was top 20 in the NBA in free throws attempted, ahead of DeMar DeRozan even. And now I think he's barely hanging on in the top 50. And it's only gone down a couple per game, but I think that's indicative of him trying to be more of the distributor type. And it's okay to try and do that for a while, but, you know, the old phrase from Shakespeare, be true to thine own. Mm-hmm. You have to be who you are. And I think the Raptors' best bet is to let him be Kyle Lowry we saw at the beginning of the year. If you can find another guy that's similar to Jose, bring him back and have him run screen roll situations and be more of a ball distributor, and then put that guy on the floor at times with Kyle, Rudy Gay, DeMar, and, you know, maybe Valanciunas next year to close out games if you can find the right guy. I think Kyle Lowry is valuable. He's got a valuable part to, I think, a winning combination, but he's got to use that more and not try so much to be something that he's not at times. I'm not saying he shouldn't be a distributor, but I think there are times when it calls for a different Kyle Lowry, and I don't think he's figured out when to use each one.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Paul and Eric Smith.
I want to ask you.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to ask you something. I know it's your show, but did you read the piece on Grantland about the analytics?
I have not read it yet, no.
A very good piece. And, I've been back and forth with people on Twitter about it. And I can see, as a coach, I look at some of them and go, I'm not doing that. I don't care what percentages say. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I'm not bringing a left-hander to face a left-hander when I have Mariano Rivera.
Right.
I know he's right-handed and the batter's left-handed, but you can throw that percentage out. it's a good read. It's a good read.
Yeah, no.
As a baseball nut too, you with percentages and you know, looking at numbers, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I'll take a look at it because it's, you know, funny. I've always had this theory. Pardon me. I've always had this theory about analytics and sports, and nothing to base it on, but I've kind of thought that analytics have a role in every sport, but what I would call games of flow, where the action is a result of the flow of the game. Baseball, the difference between baseball and every other sport is that the defense has possession of the ball. The first act in a baseball game is me preventing you from doing anything. I want you to miss the ball. Every other sport, the first act is generally being proactive. I've got the ball. I got the puck. I want to go and score. And I've always thought, for that reason, that as much as analytics are interesting and everything, it still comes down to the fact that if you trip going over the boards, it's a 2-on-1. And there's no number that can change that.
Well, and it's something that we talk about in broadcasting all the time. And I used to, you know, being a university coach, we used to talk about it all the time. Numbers don't bleed.
Yes.
You can have, and you know what? you know, that one guy, that bloop by Luis Rivera, yeah, it beat the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
Luis Gonzalez. Yeah. Luis Gonzalez.
It beat the Yankees, and they played percentages, and you know what? A lefty got a bloop single, a dying quail, to and they played the percentages, and they won. But I take that matchup 9 times out of 10 with Rivera on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I think it's a tool. I think it's a piece. And I still think, and, you know, in the piece, it talked about, you know, coaches playing their gut and the numbers kind of confirming their gut. And I had the same argument with my bosses and my superiors in education when they were talking about all the reading scores. And I said, that's great, but if I have a teacher that has kids swinging from the lights, we can't teach reading.
Well, that's true. And sometimes I find, and, you know, I don't want to hammer this point too much, but it's a good point. It seems to me that in hockey and basketball, I admit the analytics in basketball, I'm not that, you know, it's just, I'm not there yet. But analytics in hockey, and I would imagine basketball, I think they reinforce a pre-existing condition. Baseball's the one sport where it can change the condition. I might have a number, I go, wow, this is such an unbelievable matchup. Yes, it's lefty and righty, but my lefty is, this guy hasn't got a hit in 21 at-bats against my righty, so I'm sticking with it. It's different. Yeah. There's a different aspect to it. And
it's a tool, Jeff. I agree with you. And you know, it's going to take basketball people a while to warm to it, because I look at it, too, with my coaching hat on, and I say, okay, that might work. And then you actually get into it and say, what am I doing? It's a good tool. I think you just have to be careful how, when, and where it's used.
And it's like anything else. You need a champion. If Eric Spoelstra gets up to after winning the NBA title for a second time and says, guess what, people? I've been using OptiStats for the last 2 years. The joke's on you. Then all of a sudden, it's a big deal. It needs a champion to take it over. Jonesy, I appreciate you doing this. It was a good discussion. And, yeah, the article is on Grantland. It is interesting. It's about the Raptors figure quite prominently in the article as well.
I think it's cutting edge. I love it, but I think everybody's got to get comfortable with it, because I think it's useful, but like I said, where and when and how is the other part of it.
Thanks for doing this, Jonesy.
Okay, Jeff.
Take care. That is Paul Jones. He and Eric Smith will have the call of the game today, the Raptors and the Charlotte Bobcats. 7 bells from, I think it's a Time Warner Center in Charlotte. These things always change names.